4:06, and you guys have a great dinner ahead of you, and so we want to make sure that we get you towards that direction, because I'm sure folks are going to be ready for it. The other thing I want to point out to you is one of the things that's noteworthy, if any of you guys were here last year, we studied the Exodus, and I covered the 40 years in the wilderness, and it was a lot of text and certainly a lot of time, and you can tell how well I did with it because this time I was given two verses. So I'm hopeful that next time I'm not going to have any verses. So, and you know this is a retreat on the Word, so I won't be speaking to you next year based on the direction I'm going right now. I encourage you guys to ask me questions. I'll do my best to answer them. We got a lot of guys in the room, much more capable than I, and so we certainly would maybe get some of their thoughts as well if I'm not helping you guys by answering your questions. But feel free to ask me questions. Gonna step through this and just kind of systematically, and it's informal. If you have a question, just let me know and I'll do my best to answer it. But let's go ahead and step through it. I'd like to just get you thinking about the subject by thinking, what makes you anxious? Maybe you were even anxious today. Maybe something was going on. Maybe you were running late. Maybe something's going on at home with your family. Maybe something's going on with your work. I'm just asking you, what makes you anxious? Think about it. For me, that last one actually makes me a little anxious. I just gotta tell you that. It makes me anxious to get in front of you guys. Don't have any problem getting in front of a group of guys when I got to talk about business stuff. Pretty much at ease. But to share with you my of His Word, I got to tell you, makes me anxious. So think about it, because hopefully we can unpack that as we go along. A lot of things can make you anxious. The other thing I'd like you to think about is it a positive or a negative? Is being anxious, basically a good thing or a bad thing? What is it? What does it mean? Let's take a look at that. Uneasiness, distress about future uncertainties, intense fear or dread. Interestingly enough, that bottom one, eagerness, earnestness, starts sounding a little bit better. It's interesting, when I did a little bit of a study on the English language and when we came up with the word anxiety or anxious. It's interesting, the first two definitions, that's what it meant. And then about 100 years later, the third one was added. It was just interesting to me that it's got a positive spin to it. It's the idea of, if you look at anxious, it's the idea of, anxious to get home, anxious to see my wife, anxious to see your grandkids. And so just the question is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? Is it a positive or a negative? Well, let's look at the word here in Philippians. I'll try the Greek. Not a Greek scholar. Meremna-o. Somebody else be able to say it much better than I. But the word in Philippians chapter 4, to be anxious, to be troubled with cares, to care for, look out for, to I thought it was interesting, to seek to promote one's interests. So you're very concerned. And at the end of the day, I think part of the concern is about your own interests. When you look elsewhere, the other word you'll see, but it's the same Greek word, is worry. So I would submit to you that what we're dealing with here in Philippians and what instruction we're getting from Paul in chapter 4 of Philippians is not a good thing. Would you agree? And you guys know, you're very familiar with Jesus' instruction on being anxious in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6. And you've got elsewhere where Paul uses the same word. And it also means concern or concerned. Care, but I would say that it's not a, as he's used it here, it's not a good thing. So, you know, any questions at that point on just stepping through, what does it mean? And that's what, I mean, if you look in like the medical literature about anxiety, and when it moves from just being anxious to what they're characterized, I'm going to talk a little bit about anxiety disorders. But it's interesting. They actually say it's healthy to be anxious. It's a positive thing. You're walking into a dark parking lot or a dark alleyway, and your anxiety level goes up and you are more focused. You're more attentive to what's going on around you. And so there are cases when it isn't a bad thing. But again, just as you look at the Greek word and what Paul was saying, be anxious for nothing, when he's talking about it, he's not talking about he didn't want you to be focused. Okay? I think it's more on the side of worry. Because we know that being anxious can lead to a more prolonged state, which I would characterize as worry. I think it's the precursor to worry. Walt. Great question. You guys know end of chapter 2 where you know Epaphroditus was ill even to the point of death and there was a real concern. I would say in that particular case it's not a concern for self, it's a concern for other. And so I think that's a real distinction there. They are different words. I didn't study that word in chapter 2. I believe they're, well, maybe not, because it's right there, isn't it? 220. So it is the same word in that particular case. So it's there I would say it's he's concerned for the welfare of someone else. Now, he was concerned that he would have sorrow, that he would lose him, to lose a friend in Christ if he went. So I think it was a concern as well as for his own welfare. So Walt, I'm in both places in that I think it was a healthy concern. I don't think it's what he's talking about in chapter 4. But he is concerned there for Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus. Yeah, I would say, I think trust is important. I think it's going to be an element, and as we step through it, it's going to be a big piece of what I think is an application here. But I would say the flip side of being anxious is peace. Because when we looked back, when you look at this, and particularly with anxiety, it's an uneasiness. I mean, when you read through that, there's no peace there. Distress. Dread. There's uncertainty associated with it. I think peace is an issue, but it does talk about what do you trust in is something that we'll talk about.
In Matthew 37,
I don't think he was worrying. He's distressed. He knows what he's going to go through, clearly. I didn't see it as the same, but maybe, Steve?
Yeah, is it possible that it's a legitimate concern versus an illegitimate anxiety?
Yes.
And there's maybe a spectrum or something like that?
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think there is certainly legitimate concern, and I think there are positive things to being anxious. But I think, and what Paul's talking about when he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present or make." Let your request be made known to God. And the peace, which he's going to talk about, what comes from that is peace. These are concerns, they're worries that Paul's telling us we shouldn't. And it could be, certainly when we looked at Matthew chapter 6, it was about provision and whether we were going to have what we needed. I would tell you, if you look at a lot of your concerns, whether it's job-related, even family-related, I don't know that they would be the healthy. But I think there is a spectrum. I'm not trying to say every time that you're anxious that's an unhealthy concern. But I think it's a flag for you, and we'll talk about it later. I think being anxious for you to ask the question, why am I concerned? What is going on here, and is it all about me? Yeah, I think that's why it will lead to the question about where is your trust, where is your hope? I would say that in many cases, and as you saw in some of the definition here, worry is still yet to be determined. There's a future outcome, and you don't know what that outcome is going to be. There's uncertainty associated with it, and you're worried how it's going to play out. Well, if we put our trust in who is in charge of all the results ultimately, I think that's why it's a flag. And I think that's where we can get some, there's instruction in this. And let's continue on, because I think some of the, you guys are asking great questions, and hopefully we'll keep drilling down. I happen to be in the oil and gas business, so you'll hear the drilling type of analogies. Boo. Thank you, Gail. Your support and your warmth. This was just put in no extra charge, and I am not a medical professional, don't profess to be, but I thought it was very, very interesting when I was doing a lot of looking at anxiety and being anxious. There's a specific set of anxiety disorders. You see them here. Panic disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder. Some of these things you've heard about. Phobias. And what is very, very interesting to me in all of them is a common thread through every single one of those. These are medical issues. This is where folks are having trouble dealing with, bottom line, fears. They come back to, for an obsessive compulsive person, they're afraid that if they don't put everything in its proper place and order, things aren't going to work out just right. You know, and that's what there's a fear in there that if it's not done, all this just so, and exactly, that there's a bad outcome. So there's a fear associated with it. Clearly, with the phobias, you guys know what the root word there, and so it is fear of heights, fear of being in small places. I mean, it's all about fear. Post-traumatic stress disorder is you've been through an event, very bad event, and there's a lot of fear in that trauma that you're dealing with, and so it's interesting because at the end of the day we know there's a relationship between hope and fear and where our trust is and where is a healthy and a proper place for us to have fear versus these particular ones, which I think are unhealthy, fear. Back to the point of, is it something that, we're just not supposed to be anxious, period. I mean, that's just the way it's supposed to be. And I think the answer is no. God recognizes that we will be anxious. Okay, we're going to have this issue, and we're going to have the issue with unhealthy anxiety. Okay, which is our focus here, and He knows it, and you clearly see it here. There's a lot of teaching around it, not to be anxious. Sermon on the Mount, giving you some references here where Jesus is teaching and telling, don't be anxious for your life. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. Who can really impact how long you're going to live in these important issues? First Peter, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. So there is a clear recognition that God knows we're gonna be anxious. Now He's gonna help us and give us I think, some very good instruction. I think it is a flag. We should ask a lot of questions when we're feeling anxious, and really examine what's going on. Why are we anxious? Let's look at just Paul's instruction. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Clearly what you see here is absolutes, which is interesting. I mean, it's not, you know, you can be anxious in certain things, certain areas of your life, things. He's saying be anxious for nothing, but in everything. So it just jumps out of the page that it's an absolute. I would say that we have trouble dealing in absolutes. We're always looking for loopholes whenever we're faced with an absolute. But Paul is giving us absolutes here. Nothing means nothing. Everything means everything. All things. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Because God doesn't know everything, so you really need to do this. Right? He's given us this lesson because if we don't do it, God's not going to know. Right? No, I think that this is huge. To me, it's so important. This is where we're really being called to be honest before the Lord for our benefit. Yes, sir?
Can you talk a little bit more about supplication and what you think that means?
Yeah, I looked up supplication, and I'm going to come to it in just trying to think where up. It's the first bullet here, actually. Entreaty. Earnest, it's an earnest request. Some translations use petition. Prayer, dialogue with the Lord. But this is earnest. Entreaty. I don't have anything more to add to it, but it's added emphasis by Paul. You know, he didn't just say, by prayer, let your request. He's saying, be earnest about it, which may mean you go over it more than once, which maybe in that process you're going over it more than once and you're getting clarity yourself with what am I really concerned about here? What is making me anxious? And through that clarity, I think it's helping you to understand what is making you anxious. So that later on, what we're going to see is you're going to give it to Him. I think at the end of the day, that's what this instruction is. You are going to give whatever it is that you're anxious about to Him. And it's in this transaction of being honest, being earnest about it, you get some clarity. But at the end of the day, you turn it over, and we get to the element of trust that he's gonna take care of that. That at the end of the day, he's in control. Because I think when we do really get honest and we're focusing on what's making us anxious, it may be circumstantial. It may be some future event that. You know, it's a big business deal, and we're very anxious about the outcome. Well, you know, he's in control. You know, you certainly need to work hard and work heartily unto him, but the outcome is in his hands. And do you really believe that? And that to me is what is the lesson going on here. Do you really believe? That when I give you, Lord's saying, get it all processed, be honest, tell me what's really bothering you, what you're anxious about, what your worry. Put it here in front of me, and do you believe that I'm going to deal with it for you?
One other question. What about the idea of action? Because sometimes anxiousness occurs from lack of action or no action at all.
Well, that's active, certainly. But I think what he was talking about you've got a path to go. You don't know which way to go. You're anxious about a decision you've got to make. And so in that, there's no decision. And you're even more anxious because I haven't made a decision. I think at the end of the day, if we have a decision that's facing us and it is something we need to decide, you know, we need to use this. Take it to Him, but at the end of the day, we may have to make a decision and say, God, you know, I don't know if I'm making the right decision. I pray I'm honoring You. I've gotten counsel. I've sought counsel. I've really thought it through. I've looked in Your Word for instruction and clarification, but, you know, I think you need to act. At the end of the day, we are Christians, you know, need to be about doing and not inaction. So I don't know that that's a great place to be. I don't know if I answered your question, but hopefully some thoughts.
Well, I think everyone has some anxiety related to doing action or no action at all. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I think it's really key that, oh, yes, sir. Another question?
Yeah, I had somebody summarize this a couple weeks ago. He really hit me right between the eyes. He said, anxiety is temporary atheism.
I think that's, I think that's pretty wise, because I think at the end of the day, I think the red flag is, are you not trusting Him? Do you not believe Him? Believe in Him? And do you not recognize that He's in control? Now, I do want to be careful, because I think, I think we do need to recognize that there's a level of anxiety that does sharpen your focus, but I think you need to be focused and with that act, and not if that anxiety push into worry and inaction. And I think what your friend was talking about is the unhealthy being anxious, certainly. But I wouldn't have a problem with that.
You know, as society and as people and human nature, we're so immature and we have this impatience with God. You know, that I think the earnest request, petition, supplication, the impatient, is saying, God, You know what's good for me. I don't know what's good for me. I will wait. I'm about to take action in my own hands. I'm about to take matters in my own hands. I'm about to proceed rationally. You know, I'm going to wait for You to, you know, do what You want me to do. And that's going back to trusting God and having peace to sit there and just an agony on us. It's okay, God. It might take years to work out, but you know, please work it out.
And I think what's interesting here is, you know, to make known means to reveal. And we know we don't have to reveal it to God. So why is Paul telling the Philippians to, you know, make known, make their requests known? I think it's really that honesty is for our benefit. And it's forcing us to really understand what it is. And I think part of the issue is we really don't have a handle on what really is making us anxious. And when we get down to it, and we really unpack it and have put it in front of him through that earnest request, I think we're going to have a much better idea of what it is and trust in him, like you said, for the answer, for clarity. Mike. I think it's a healthy fear. I mean, but that last point you were making, I think to a certain extent, I don't know if we're trying to downplay it by saying we're anxious about that time that we're going to stand before Him and be accountable, and we just don't want to say the fear worthy. You know, I would say you're clearly talking about fear, and not you've gone beyond. Anxiety. I think it's terror at that point. It should be. Gail. Go back one chart. Yes. I think what this is really, and this is me, and please call me on it if I've got it wrong. I welcome that. But I think there's a recognition that we will be anxious. But it's to be a flag. We're not, I think, because we are commanded to be anxious for nothing. Whenever we are anxious, we need to ask the question, why am I anxious? What's going on here? And then we need to step through it. And just as much as he says, be anxious for nothing, he's saying in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We need to process that anxiety. Know what it is. Is it my kids? Something going on with my kids that I'm anxious about. What is it? Reveal it. And I think in that, we're going through a process that says, but you know what, Lord? I'm going to turn this over. Your hand is the hand I want on my kids getting through this issue. And I'm just going to pray. Here's my request, Lord, that you help my child with this issue. Get through this issue. And I think when the transactions occurred, I think another flag in this instruction is you will have peace. The anxiety, he will remove the anxiety. Yes. That's absolutely what I'm saying.
I've kind of gotten past the point of just
See, and I think that's where, go back to Walt's question about Paul talking about Epaphroditus and having a concern. I'm hearing what you say, and maybe I'm hearing you wrong, but what you have a concern for your family or whatever, a family member, that you would be concerned of how they would react to losing you. Well, one, I mean, what can I do to help them understand that how this all comes together? You know, and that is, God's in control. If something were to happen to me, if I was, you know, if God were to take me in a car accident, you know, my wife would have lots of sorrow. I mean, I would hope, but maybe not. And maybe she's already finished her unfinished business, and she knows exactly what she'll do. But I think that we're trying to step through and unpack this. I mean, why are you concerned? You know, and I think trying to put that out there to Him and turn it over to Him. And through that process, you know, is there a peace? And if there isn't, then I think we got to keep looking at it, see what's going on there. Yeah, and I would say what you're talking about is worry. As I would unpack it, I would say there are moments when we feel anxious, and it doesn't necessarily take. So I think there is something called concern that I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree. I think there is something that's anxious, and I'm sure you've run into folks that they're short term. You know, I was kind of anxious about this situation. You know, have you ever go back? Let me just put you back in time. College, had a test coming up. That test coming up, you were really anxious about that test. You were anxious about how you were going to do on that test. It didn't necessarily, it wasn't taking over your life per se, but in that small, narrow point in time, you were anxious. And we're going to go. I'm going to want to spend some time on, you know, again, I see it as a red flag. When you're anxious, I think you need to spend some time, say, what has got me anxious? And we're going to talk about what I think you do. So if it's just a concern and it's not really a flag on, you know, that it doesn't, it's not calling into question my trust in the Lord. Are calling into question, whether I truly believe He's going to take care of these things, then maybe there's not an issue there. But I think fundamentally, and what I see Paul instructing when he says, you know, and he's saying nothing, and he's saying in everything, and I think it's something we need to work through. Yes. Okay. You'll get another bite at the apple here in a little bit. Because we're going to keep plugging through this. Gratitude with thanksgiving. I mean, I think it's critical that he didn't just say, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. He didn't just say that. He said, with thanksgiving. Gratitude, guys, is one of the most important elements of our relationship with the Lord. And whatever has got us anxious, whatever has got us worried, at the end of the day, we have got to be very thankful that it's in His hands, and whatever He decides to do with that may not be what we wanted. We must be thankful. I mean, really, in our heart, be thankful. And I think that's why thankful we have the opportunity to give them our concerns and what has got us anxious and what we're worried about. And thankful that He's the one that's going to work it through in the end and will take care of things rather than ourselves. So, I put a few things on here. Thankful that He is in control. Thankful that He's the one that determines. Are you really thankful that He determines your provision, your standard of living? Thankful to Him, especially in the tough times. Lost your job. Things are not going well with the family. You have a child that's gone off the deep end. Are you thankful for that? That He has you where He has you in the circumstances you're in. If you can truly be thankful as you're making your request be made known, I think you are affirming Him. I think it is glorifying to Him to be thankful. Ron. Well, because if we think we really can work harder and smarter, just do that and affect the outcome, there's probably a chance we're not going to be anxious, maybe, because we're just going to work harder and, try to be smarter, and we're focused on that. We're focused on the activity. I think, it's on the uncertainty. We're not sure how this thing's going to work out. And so it is out of our control. And I would say, yes, being anxious is because we realize we're not in control of the situation and we're anxious. Good point. Steve. It's not the natural. I mean, we would not normally respond that way at all. It's a matter of our will that we respond in that way, and by doing that, we're saying, "You are good. You are the one in control of where I am right now." I mean, if you wanted me to have a job right now, I'd have a job right now. I believe that. And you have me where you want me to be, and I just pray that I will glorify you and how I'm dealing with this.
Do we trust?
How much do we trust in Him? I think the issue with being anxious and the unhealthy part of it is, fundamental question is, where's God in this? How are we viewing God in this? Do we view Him the way you're talking about? Or are we just so fixated on ourselves and the fact we're out of control and He's not even in the equation? Trusting in the Lord equals peace. Yes, sir.
Could you simplify that by simply saying, or would you simplify that by saying that anxiety is almost a byproduct of trying to control the outcome yourself?
I hadn't given it a lot of thought, but I agree with Ron. I mean, I think the simple answer is we're not in control. Maybe we want to be in control. Ultimately, that's what we want. And so the fact we're not in control is making us anxious. But there's no question control, the control issue, and anxiety go together. I would say that for sure. Way back there. Yes, sir. In the cheap seats. That's a good point.
So based on control and trust, are we using anxiety or anxiousness as a sin? Is that word being said?
We're told not to be anxious, and that was kind of back to Gail's point of, is it a command, and if I violate that command, is it a sin? I think we are commanded not to be anxious. The moment that you are anxious, and I think the moment that you continue to be anxious and you don't start processing it and saying, okay, why am I anxious? Let my request with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving for what's going on in my life, and as I make what I'm anxious about, this concern, this worry of mine, and put it up to Him. If you don't do that, and you're just walking around constantly being anxious, I would say, yes, you're violating the commandment, and it's sin, but I think this is a red flag for us to not be anxious.
So you say it only is a red flag, that's what you
mean. Yeah. I mean, I would say if you're constantly anxious, you're not practicing any of this instruction that Paul's giving you, I would say yes, you're in sin.
Starts out
I think it's, I mean, when he's telling us, be anxious for nothing, I really do think he's telling, whenever you're anxious, ask yourself, why am I anxious? What has got me anxious? And give it, you know, put it down. Be honest. You know, understand it. Turn it over to Him. And the second part, which we haven't gotten to, will come.
Well, on the last couple of questions, is there any correlation then to temptation?
I mean, I'm not prepared to go there or talk about it, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you really mean with that, but let me keep going. When we turn over what's making us anxious over to the Lord and we trust in Him to meet our needs, the way He wants to meet our needs, what's His good pleasure, He will give us peace. So, I don't see, as I thought it through, I see no, if you're anxious, there's no peace. I mean, it's as simple as that to me. If you're anxious, there's no peace. And when I look at the fruits of the Spirit, I see peace. And when I look at this, He's trying to give us instruction that we could have the peace. And not just any old peace. It's the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension. Gave you some passages here where there's no question God wants us to have peace. And He's given us formula for that. I thought this was noteworthy. Matthew Henry said, "The peace of God, the comfortable sense of being reconciled to God, and having part in His favor and the hope of heaven are greater good than can be fully expressed." It's beyond understanding, comprehension. Let me keep going, guys. I got about 15 minutes, so we'll keep moving on. Surpasses all comprehension. Talked about this already. But I wanted to share with you this Jeremiah verse, 17:7-8. Read with me through it. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water, that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear." I mean, again, you know, with that anxiety, I think is an element of fear. And it's not a healthy fear. It's not fear of the Lord. It's fear of, you know, this uncertainty, that outcome. It's not fear of the Lord. It's unhealthy fear. Look at this. It's the tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. It didn't say if the heat comes. It says when the heat comes. Okay? So it will come. And so maybe back to the testing issue. There will be testing, and through that testing you may be anxious. And then Paul says, be anxious for nothing. And look at this here, that when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. And you guys know we're supposed to be yielding fruit. It's just a great, great passage, great instruction for us. worth just meditating on these two verses. The antidote is trusting in the Lord. And what does Paul tell us that we will have? Peace and protection. And let me tell you guys, we need both of them. We need peace and protection. What's going to get protected? Our hearts and our minds. Very, very important things to be protected. Hearts and minds. And going to be protected in Christ Jesus. I noted here what you guys are very familiar with, which is we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Heart and mind. And we really want those protected so that we can love the Lord with them. 1 Peter 1:5. It says, the believers who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Critical to have that protection. So let me just kind of try to draw this together. My study, Paul was talking about being anxious, uneasiness, distress. It's what leads to, it's worry, and it's unhealthy, and we're to be anxious for nothing, but in everything. And then, if you are anxious, yeah, I think it's a red flag. You need to ask yourself, why am I anxious? What is it that has me anxious? And is it calling into question my hope? You know, am I in a situation where God's really asking me, do you really believe? You know, you've been saying all this stuff. You've been, you know, going to your Bible study. You've been doing all this stuff. You know, is he in that moment with whatever's going on in your life that has got you anxious? Is the ultimate question, is he saying, do you really believe in me? Do you really believe my promises? Do you really believe in my character? Have you put all of your trust in me? Is he asking that question in that moment, in that time of anxious, being anxious, that anxiety you're experiencing? Are you thankful? Yes, sir.
Jesus chided the disciples again and again over their faith. Connection in the risk with me, a little faith, anxiety, believing.
Absolutely.
Tell me about that.
Well, because I think it's a red flag. Whenever you're anxious, I think you should look at that as a red flag. You ought to ask yourself, why am I anxious? And is my faith in question? Am I operating without faith or with little faith in Him? And I think that's a fundamental question you could ask as you're processing this anxiety you're experiencing.
I spend a lot of time talking about anxiety. One of the things that I would like to point out is chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true. And that word true is not true versus false, but it's that which conforms to reality versus that which doesn't conform to reality. And when you think about your own anxiety, most of the time, you're making projections.
worry. She said, worry is the capacity to enjoy crisis before it happens.
Let that sink in, right? Here's a few. I mean, we've been talking about application, and hopefully you've gotten some application out of this study. I think it is in every situation. I mean, if you're in a situation, you become anxious. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, it's that honesty. It's processing. You know, what is making you anxious? I think our mind, our thought life, you know, what's going on, how we're thinking, we need to really get a handle on that. Are we willing to turn these elements over? Is it a control issue? Are we willing to turn over the outcome, the result, over to Him? Are we willing to trust in Him? Are we grateful for whatever the outcome? And I think the biggest message is, if you're anxious, I see no peace there. So why am I anxious? And take it to the Lord. Have time for maybe two final questions. Fern, better be a softball from you, man. Good to see you.
That word absolutes keeps ringing in my head. Said be anxious for nothing. And nothing's quite clear. And it reminds me of, word talks about being whole as the Lord your God is whole. When I look at verses like that and be anxious for nothing, I think of a standard. And I'm wondering if be anxious for nothing is the standard. And because we're maturing in Christ, it's not for us to bring down the standard, but through the Holy Spirit to reach the standard. And I was just wondering if I might be active on that board.
I mean, I think, I think we are on the road of sanctification, and it is a process. And I think, we're about moving in that direction. The standard doesn't change, and I can only hope that getting closer, the more you walk, the more mature you become. I think the much more sensitive you are that you're not there, and how lofty that standard is, and it's only through His grace that you stand a chance at all. Yes, sir.
I think in light of that question, though, we have to be really careful, because in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was something. You want to call it anxious? I don't know what word you want to use. Paul was
distressed. And that's why I think, Fern, I mean, my biggest point is rather than say, I think it should be a red flag. I think it should be, we don't want to be anxious. And if you're continuing and you're not recognizing it, you're not taking it to the Lord, as we've talked about here, there's a real issue there. And I think you are in sin. But I think what we're being taught here is there's a recognition we will be anxious. The Lord knows we're going to be anxious, and now He's given us, here you go, guys. I'm being pretty darn clear about what I think he's being clear, that he doesn't want us to be anxious. So don't be anxious, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. He's saying, take it all to me. I mean, I'll take care of it.
Instead of a red flag, I like to call it a yellow flashing light.
A great way to look at it. Last one. Well, all I would say to you, and I would say to all you guys, is if you have a buddy who's going through something, he's clearly anxious, you know, are you going to say, you know, hey, everything's okay, you're anxious about it, it will work itself out, that's a good thing you're anxious about it. I mean, I think you're going to say, you're not going to say, you're going to point him and says, you know, the Lord tells us not to be anxious. And let's talk and work through how to deal with our anxiety, how he tells us to deal with it, and to turn it over. And I agree with what you're saying. He's telling us to focus on him and turn things over to him. But I just don't want us to be slipping on this, saying, well, okay, you know, we got lots of wiggle room here. I just think you need to look at this and, whether it's yellow flashing lights, red flag, you know, are we moving towards sin? You know, are we in sin? You know, it's not good. Let's just say, and let's do what he's telling us to do. Let's do it. Thank you guys. I really appreciate it. And,